The men's tournament started last night. Maybe someone should have told Virginia. The baseball season started this morning. Will anyone beat the Dodgers? And how much do the Jets owe the Mike Williams signing to a breakfast sandwich? A New Jersey breakfast sandwich. Not bad. Bill, Woody, David, Kevin Clark. Let's go.
What is that? Scrapple? Are you eating Scrapple? Taylor Ham? Terrible.
It's already started. Dodgers 1-0. So Bill's going to sit here and tell you they're going to go undefeated this year. A 5-2 win over the Padres this morning slash tonight in Korea. A four-run eighth-inning rally, thanks in large part to a hole in the glove that led to a run. It's only one game, a half a world away. Remember that. So, Bill, what kinds of things can you take away from an opening day that is a week before the real opening day?
Two numbers for you, Frank. 162 and 0. The Dodgers look pretty good, don't they? No, I was really look for Mookie Betts playing shortstop for the first time. Turned a double play, got two hits. He looked good. That was good. Check that box. Tyler Glass now, one of the league's worst starting pitching stats last year. He looked good in five innings. He walked a few guys, but he only gave up two hits. He was good. And the bottom of the order, not the big three, but the bottom of the order, produced most of the runs. I love the fact that once they get through the big three, they have to deal with Max Muncy. They got to deal with James Altman. They got to deal with Teoscar Hernandez. The Dodgers were just loaded, and this game showed it.
Bill, people in L.A., are they happy that opening day was played a half a world away, or are they okay with it?
I thought it was a nightmare. I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've been up since 3 o'clock in the morning watching the game. So, no, I'm not happy. Not good.
Woody Page?
Well, Bill, I agree with you. You have to get up pretty early in the morning to beat the Dodgers this season, I think.
Well played.
You're looking at that game, and the Padres are about three deep, meaning after you get through the first three players, there's not much left in that lineup. But in the Dodgers, as you said, when you have Ohtani and Betts and your first baseman, Freddie Freeman, leading off, yeah, when you have those three leading off and you look down and you got Lux hitting last in the lineup and he's playing second base where he can throw the ball to first base now, I think it's going to be an impressive team that could win 100 games, particularly when Kershaw gets back. Buehler is closer than that, I think, maybe a month or so, that he could get back in the lineup. And the pitchers you acquired out there in Los Angeles, I think it's going to be a tough out. However, the Giants have helped themselves. The Diamondbacks went to the World Series, and the Padres are still not bad. I won't talk about the team that's located down the street here.
He's giving us the preview we didn't ask for. David Dennis, Dodgers 1-0 to start the season. What's your takeaway?
Oh, my takeaway, this is all about sports Beyonce, Ohtani, and the most anticipated at-bat that we will see on a given night. And, of course, he had a single RBI that may seem pedestrian. The first foul ball, 119 miles per hour outside of the Sky Dome. The single was 112 miles per hour. He is putting, obviously, that velocity that he has on the ball at all times. And the Padres, they can take solace in the fact that they can say that we had the game won if it wasn't for a faulty glove and all that stuff. But you know what's more random and less likely to happen than that? The Dodgers were 2-14 with runners in scoring position. That's not happening again either. So even in an ugly game, they won. So just, you know, wait to see what happens when they are firing all cylinders.
So Kevin Clark, Bill Plaschke was up at a time when most sports reporters are getting in. For us out here, it was a little bit easier, 6 o'clock in the morning. Did you get up to watch the game, and what was your takeaway?
I watched it with Teddy Clark, who's 1 year old. I don't have a choice in the matter. By the way, Woody, when your NL West preview is over, real opening day will be here next week. We saw what these two franchises are. The Dodgers went out and got the most impressive player in modern baseball history. The Padres workshopped new ways to be cursed. That's what they do. They blow games in the eighth and ninth inning. We saw that today. You can add first baseman gloves to MLB uniform things that just don't work this year. But you saw, Bill mentioned this, the bottom of the order, 7, 8, 9. That was the heart of that rally in the eighth inning, and I think that's important. This is genuine depth for the Dodgers. They're going to win a lot of games. That's just what we already knew.
Pretty amazing, Bill. We're going to let you enjoy this one because you're correct. Right now, they could go 162-0. All right, that's the horn.
You're in first place.
Let's move on. Colorado State, 67. UVA, wait for it, 42. Virginia, quite cavalier about playing offense last night. Held without a basket for over 13 minutes of game time. Check this out. 14 points at the half. People are upset that they took a last four spot, and then they did that. After the game, UVA coach Tony Bennett, quote, "We've got to look at things certainly from a system standpoint." So yesterday, David Dennis is here. He said he was going to go with Virginia in this one. So, David, maybe you need to look at things from a system standpoint. But, David, you were watching this one. What do you think of Virginia, and what can they do to reset?
Okay, all right, so hear me out here, guys. All right, yes, I did pick Virginia here, and I picked them because of the defense and cited the fact that they had not allowed more than 80 points in 23 straight NCAA playoff games. They haven't allowed 80 points in 24 straight NCAA tournament games, so that's that. That's a good thing for them. What we're looking at here is obviously a system problem. They have not scored more than 50 points seven times this season. That's the most since 1947-1948 season, a very long time. This team has been bottom five in pace of play in the last 10 years. This is about Tony Bennett having to figure out how to adjust to modern times and modern ways of playing the game. Bounced in four out of the last 5 years in the first tournament game. This is about him having to figure something out with that team.
So yesterday, just to recap, I think you referred to me as a dweeb, and you also picked Virginia. You know what that means. All right, Kevin Clark, when Indiana State is watching that game, St. John, Seton Hall, Providence, go through all the teams that didn't make it, what should they be feeling?
Yeah, when David and Tony Bennett are busy figuring out what modern basketball is, I guess, for the next couple of years, they can put other teams in the tournament, the committee can. This is a failure on the committee's part. What do they expect? Virginia scored 50 points in only four of its last eight games. According to Gary Parrish, they were 18 spots on KenPom worse than any other at-large team. They should not have been in this tournament. And all these folks who are talking about expansion, imagine a worse team than Virginia playing in March, playing in this tournament. That's what the expansionists want. No way. Keep it at 68 because of teams like Virginia. You don't want to see more basketball like this.
Bill Plaschke?
Virginia got in on reputation, but that's been tarnished. They've been knocked out of the first round, the first game of the tournament, for the last 5 years. I know the other year they won the championship, but it's just not working. And what's happening is the game has gotten faster, more three-point shooters, and Virginia can't play in this system. They can't recruit the great players. There's no standouts. There's no all-stars on that team. When's the last time a great NBA player has come out of Virginia? He can't recruit the great players. They want to go to play fast. They want to go to play three-point shooting. This is not a system that works in today's basketball. He needs to change.
All right, Woody, what about last night? Now, don't give us a preview for the entire tournament, just last night's game. What do you think?
Well, first of all, being invited to the big dance is not like a lifetime achievement award, and that seems to be what happens with Virginia over and over again because they won a national championship. But if they don't change the system, Bennett's going to be gone, even though he won a national championship, because you've got to have an up-pace kind of game to play in college basketball. I would switch back and forth between the NBA and that game last night, and I kept thinking, boy, these are two different totally types of sports being played here. But let's give some love to Colorado State. They were 5-0 during the season against Power 6 teams, and obviously Virginia's not one of those, but they were the last team picked by the committee, and that's unfair. This was a team that actually was in the top 20 for much of the season before it went on a spiel at the end. And I think that if Virginia had gotten somebody else, they wouldn't have had Bob Uecker to come out at halftime and say, 14 damn points!
It was a little hard to believe. I don't agree with Kevin, though. I want the tournament. I want more teams in because too many teams get left out in the dark on that one. All right, we're less than a day away from the first round tipping off. Are you expecting this year to be extra chalky or extra underdoggy? Kevin, give me and give the people one Cinderella they can take with confidence this year.
New Mexico over Clemson.
Wow, there we go. Give me something else. Why New Mexico?
Oh, Yeah, so first of all, they are powered by the sons of NBA stars. Jamal Mashburn's son and Eddie House's son are their two leading scorers. Coached, by the way, by Richard Pitino, another child of a legend. I think you look at this, they're the 22nd ranked team on KenPom, according to Vegas. Hey, this is a KenPom heavy show. According to Vegas, it's really close. In fact, some lines have New Mexico as favorites. This screams upset to me, Frank.
You know, I covered Jamal Mashburn, the father, in high school. That makes me old. Thanks for reminding me, Kevin. Bill Plaschke.
Look for Samford to beat Kansas. Kansas is a mess, and then Samford will beat Gonzaga in the second round. They have a player at Samford, a chore. And he's a chore to cover, believe me. He's their best player. They're averaging like 39% for three-point shooting. They're a fast team. They run a good running team. They'll win two rounds.
You do realize Samford's not in the Pac-12. You do realize that. That's the other team. You sure about that? All right. Woody Page.
James Madison, 32 of 38 tournaments. A 12th seed is beating a 5th seed. Madison's going to beat Wisconsin, get a chance to face Duke. Dukies versus Duke, what a great game that's going to be. And James Madison has the longest streak, winning streak, of any team in the tournament, 13 in a row.
David Dennis?
I'm looking second round. Mississippi State over UNC. They're going to give them all they can handle. Mississippi State had a good showing in the SEC. UNC sort of stumbled into the tournament. Josh Hubbard is a star. They're going to bounce them. They're going to give Hubert Davis a lot of time to brush up on his little dirt. Bonus on the women's side, Jackson State and Coach Reed are going to give UConn all they can handle in the first round.
He gets music in every single answer. I like it. You know what? I'm being told we have a special video from a special friend. JD, can you roll that?
If you're seeing this message, it is not too late. The Copernicus of the NCAA tournament is back at risk of getting, again, minus 330 points or whatever it is, because he's right, but also sometimes specifically in only technical ways wrong. Wagner, Tony, is the 16 seed that'll upset a 1 seed this year. They're a scrappy bunch. I watched them win their first 4 game over Howard. I know that they are willing to commute to the city on a rat-infested ferry. Wagner and Staten Island, congratulations.
He's kissing up to the regular host. That's why he picked a team from Staten Island. We got to mute him. Buy or sell next.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Pelicans over the Nets last night in Brooklyn. As Mike Francesa would say, I was there. Another big game from Zion, punctuated by this dunk. Man, oh man. In March, Zion is averaging 24-8-5 and shooting 63% from the floor. And maybe the stat that will get most of your attention, Brian Windhorst says that Zion is down 25 pounds since December. David Dennis Jr., is Zion back?
Not only is Zion back, but he is leading a Pelicans team that nobody in the West should want to face right now. Way that he is blitzing these defenses is terrifying. He's second in the league in points in the paint, only behind Giannis, and he's running as a point guard. That puts an extreme amount of pressure on a defense. Add in Herb Jones and what he does defensively and the in the exterior, defending all those wings. This team is going to be a tough out no matter who they face.
Kevin Clark?
Yeah, if I'm the Clippers, I'm very, very nervous about that 4-5 matchup. And if I'm the Thunder, I'd be worried about that 1-5 matchup after that, looking at the standings. Zion Williamson, the only question has always been health. J.J. Redick was on First Take today basically saying this is the Duke version of Zion Williamson. This is the prince who was promised. This is supposed to be his era, and now it's starting to get here. 30 points per game in the last four games. We're seeing something really special, and we're seeing the emergence of a genuine superstar that's going to be able to really take this Pelicans team to new heights.
Kevin, if we want the schedule, we go to Woody. You don't ever give us the schedule. Bill Plaschke.
Yeah, I'm watching him. I don't even recognize him. He looks like a different person, a different player. He has five straight games of at least 30 points and 60% shooting. That's a franchise record. He's dominating the boards. He's leading the team. And Kevin's right. The Clippers are worried. They're going to lose that fourth spot to them. They're going to lose home court advantage. The Pelicans can make some noise in the playoffs.
And I've scheduled this time for Woody. Woody, what do you got?
Physically, he looks great. I haven't seen him look like that since he was at Duke. But secondly, I like the way that he's averaging about four assists a game. It used to be when he'd come in, the ball would go to him and never go to anybody else because he's just trying to post up around the basket or dunk the ball. But now he's working within the framework of the team. Good rebounder, as he's always been. And yeah, I think he's back and ready to go, and Clippers should be very afraid.
All right, let's move on. You know who else was at the Net game last night? Not Kevin Clark. Mike Williams was there. Busy day for him after signing with the Jets. 1 year, up to $15 million to be the big downfield target for Aaron Rodgers. But was the deal sealed when a Jets fan door-dashed a breakfast sandwich to Florham Park while Williams was there for his free agent visit? Kevin, I saw you in the back in the green room. You were eating a sandwich. What kind of deal is this for Williams and the Jets?
Potentially, it's a big deal. The up to in that contract is doing a lot of work, Frank, because this is going to be incentive-based because there are health questions, just like with Tyron Smith, who they signed last week. Just like, by the way, with the quarterback, where the money is guaranteed, but the playing is not. I think generally this is could be a home run. And the stat I look at is that over the past four seasons that he's played, Mike Williams is the third best vertical receiver in football on those routes. Aaron Rodgers is the best vertical quarterback in football. If they're on the field, this is a marriage made in heaven. I love this.
David?
Yes, this is a good deal for the Jets, but it's not a good deal. $21 for a DoorDash sandwich? You got to be playing in the NFL to afford something like that. I don't understand how that works. Mike Williams, though, 15.9 yards per reception. It's a huge down the field threat. The question I have, though, that is still not all the way been solved is how is Aaron Rodgers going to get the ball to him? That offensive line was bottom four in pass block win percentage. And Tyron Smith, there are some question marks with him, has not been healthy since 2015. So it's about if Aaron Rodgers is going to have the time to get the ball to Mike Williams, or will he be picking himself up off the flat earth more times in the season than not?
Woody Page?
I think it's a great deal for the Jets. I could see Aaron Rodgers working with him as he did Adams when they were together in Green Bay. But I think Mike Williams has gotten a bad rep about being injured. Kevin, those years you were talking about, he only missed three games over a period of 4 years.
Right.
It was the Achilles injury last year that really brought him down, and people have lost faith in him, but I think the Jets can revive that.
And I'm so disappointed. I thought for sure you were going to say it was a nothing burger. Bill Plaschke.
Woody, it's the last 2 years he had injury troubles. I think this is a big risk for the Jets. That they're going to be doing what people in L.A. have been doing for the last 2 years, waiting for this guy to get healthy. He missed most of the last year. He missed the last five games of the previous year and missed the playoffs with the back problems. He's always every week is always questionable. I mean, he's not a steady. He's 29 years old. He's not getting any younger. I'm not a fan of this move. I'm not a fan of Mike Williams.
You know what? I think you're a little tired. What time did you get up, Bill? To cover the
3 a.m., baby.
Sorry, Woody. We got to give him a little credit for that, getting up at 3 a.m.
He should know. He should pick it up.
That first cut, always the deepest. Woody, we know you're on schedule. David, look who's in showdown. little East Coast, West Coast. Bill,
all right, baby.
Not well rested.
Bring it on.
Kevin Clark should be well rested. He didn't do anything last night.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bill Plaschke, Kevin Clark, welcome to Showdown. Nuggets 115, Wolves 112. Minnesota without Gobert and the Jersey Boys, Towns and Naz Reid. They were no match for Jokic and his 35-16. Minnesota staged a late comeback, but fell a shot short. Bill, what was your takeaway from last night's game?
My takeaway is that Minnesota can play with these guys. They split the season series. Anthony Edwards could have won that game if that three-pointer went in. When they get Gobert and Cat back, this could be a good series. This could be the conference finals, conference championship.
Kevin?
Yeah. There are no moral victories, but this was a moral victory. They were shorthanded. Anthony Edwards was guarded like an absolute superstar. He had Nuggets around him every time he touched the ball. And to be this close on that kind of night on a back-to-back, I thought this was a great showing for Minnesota that shows what they're capable of in a couple months.
Ant-Man's shot would have tied the game, not won the game. All right, what do we got next? The four most exciting words in sports. Jim Harbaugh garage sale. He's a Michigan man, you know. The Chargers' new head coach cleaning out some things from his Michigan home. Take a look and tell me what you see here. Kevin, what are you hoping to find and grab?
Yeah, I'm just asking for a friend. Do I see any Big Ten opposing playbooks and maybe some expense reports? I'm just asking questions here. I'm looking at this, and I'm not seeing a lot of football stuff. I'm seeing snow globes, appliances. I'm curious, is he just starting a new life? Has he just become a beach bum in Los Angeles? I'm just not sure what he's bringing from Ann Arbor to L.A. The answer is I'd get a snow globe, I guess, but I'm just wondering where the football stuff is.
It's a little wacky. Bill Plaschke?
I love Jim Harbaugh. I see a sewing machine, which makes me think there has to be clothes, which makes me think there has to be khakis. I would love to get some of his khakis. I would buy, I would probably fit into his khakis. I would wear his khakis if I could buy them to the first game the Chargers play here in L.A. I love Jim Harbaugh.
Bill, I just want you to know something. When Kevin Clark was a child prodigy, we used to torment this kid on the Nick beat. So now that one day he's probably going to become my boss, he gets the point. He gets the FaceTime.
Oh,
my
what
new
a
boss,
suck
Kevin.
Up, Frank. Oh, you're embarrassing.
I'm protecting myself.
So Caleb Williams threw on his pro day at USC today. That is the most overrated thing in sports. It does not matter if you throw or not. Having said that, there are two things you can do. One of them is show off your teammates, which he's doing here. The other one is put on a show, and that's what Caleb Williams did. All your questions are answered in tape over the course of the season. But if you make your pro day into an absolute spectacular, you just make people happy. He was punting. He was throwing at 65 yards. Normalize these sort of pro days.
That was some amazing throw. That's going to do it, folks. We're off tomorrow and Friday. Don't forget, you got the tournament.
Go Samford.